This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Where's the buff dudes at?
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Cut the fire!
Plenty of fire for you still. Two more hours today of the Brock and Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com. Justin and I get a good ranked coming up at 9:45 today. And yes, Kevin Burkhart going to join us in a half hour. That guy's calling the Super Bowl, man, for the first time. What a cool experience that has to be. And just his level of excitement has got to be off the charts. Got the NFC Championship game this week. And then 2 weeks after that, of course, he will call the Super Bowl and he'll take some time to join us. Have you ever worked with him?
Real close to doing a whole season.
Really? Mm-hmm. You should have done that.
I would have liked to. We tried.
Yeah, you should have done that. Why didn't you do that?
Well, I really tried. It was.
It wasn't your thing.
No, it came down to it was a 50-50 and missed that flip of the coin.
That's okay. Too bad. He's good.
But I've worked kind of around him and with a lot of the same people. He's a genuine article, man. He's perception reality. What you see is a warm, just friendly, treats everybody incredible, knows where he came from, started at ground zero, handed nothing, and just an awesome dude.
I like him and like that he started doing baseball. I mean, that's where I first got to know who he was, baseball pre- and post-game show type stuff.
Yep.
I think he's good. So excited to talk to him. We've had him on before, and he's great. He'll join us in 30 minutes. You say genuine article. Based on what you said, Will Levis is not the genuine article. I don't know enough about him. I'm going on your point of view, but I don't think I've ever disagreed with you that thoroughly on a quarterback evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I can't think of any quarterback that you and I see 180 degree opposite where you're like, he's bad and I think he's good or vice versa.
Yeah, no, over the years, there've been a lot of them, man. Probably going way back to, was it Taj Boyd at Clemson that both you and I kind of liked?
Yeah, we were kind of wrong about that one.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we didn't think he was going to be an NFL stud, but just kind of enjoy the game. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I thought he might be. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong about that one.
No, yeah, well, you know what? In the NFL, these guys spend millions of dollars and millions of hours, and the top 10 will tell you out of three, one's right, one's dead wrong, and one's kind of a wash. And that's just what the numbers tell you. Will Levis, 6'3", 222. Why are we talking about Will Levis at 8 a.m. in Seattle in January? Because Mel Kiper's first 1.0 mock comes out, and the familiar names go 1 through 4. And sitting there at 5, it isn't a D lineman. And now he can't trade either. Mel makes that clear in these mocks. Like, he knows there's going to be abundant amount of trades. Can't do that. So he's just looking at pure talent. He's talking to GMs. He's talking to scouts. Mel's unbelievably connected for 30, 40 years doing this thing. And this is a check the boxes. 6'3", 222, built like a brick house.
Mm-hmm.
Can throw a ball 75 yards like Josh Allen. I look at 46 touchdowns and 25 picks. Yeah, that's just what I look at. I look at 13, even in his dynamic year, right, where he had an NFL coach, Sean McVay's guy, had left the Rams, and so he got to work in an NFL system, and still 13 picks. And I see a lot of Ryan Tannehill. I see a lot of Blaine Gabbert. I see a lot of Jake Locker. I see a lot of, okay, you check the boxes, but every time I sat and watched, and there are a bunch of Saturdays where I have a night game, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm excited to watch. Every time I'm like, and he doesn't have great help. All right, he ain't at Ohio State.
He's at Kentucky, for God's sake.
He's not at Georgia.
I mean, the fact that he's even gotten noticed at Kentucky is pretty remarkable. I'm trying to think of the Kentucky quarterbacks in my lifetime. It's Tim Couch and Jared Lorenzen.
That's right.
I can't think of another Kentucky quarterback in 44 years.
Nope, I don't think there is. So, yeah, I mean, it's a heavy lift, and some of the scouts love that and saw him battered and hammered and playing injured this year, and he was beat up all season. And when Mel comes on with us next week, he's going to make all this case for him. I will say this, and this is, I think, important context. This is 1.0. So I had old Justin Barnsley there during break. Hit that Googler machine. He's pretty good. Kid out of Libby knows how to work his way around that Google.
Like 65 words per minute. It's no big deal.
Gosh, he's talented. I just said, hey, you good on that Googler? He's like, one of the best.
Yeah. And he said, I'm serviceable.
Yeah, it took about 90 seconds for him to hammer that, actually less than that. Mel Kiper 1.0 this time last year. Number one, Aiden Hutchinson. Number two, Kayvon Thibodeau. Number three, Evan Neal. Number four, Kyle Hamilton. Number five, Ike Ekwonu. So that was 1 through 5 last year. You know what all those guys did? Check every box. Big, strong, fast. Scouts, right? January scouts. Mel Kiper, a couple days before the draft, final mock of 2022. Trayvon Walker, one, ding, ding, ding. Aiden Hutchinson, two, ding, ding, ding. He had Ike Ekwonu, three, Sauce Gardner, four, Charles Cross, five. Sheldon, Charles Cross, five. So three out of the five, he hits as we get pretty close to draft time.
Right.
So right now, as I look at this mock, and I think he will even be the first to say it, hey, man, this is scout heavy. Right? These are all.
They haven't had the combine. They haven't had the Senior Bowl. I mean, they are ways away.
These are the scouting reports.
But, Brock, I mean, from a Seattle perspective, you do know that there are four guys that are considered the cream of this crop. And you have the pick after those four guys are expected to go. In this version of the world, Mel looks at it and says they go quarterback. By then, they may have signed Geno Smith. They may have not. I mean, yep. There's going to be a million things that are going to affect it.
Yep.
I got to tell you, of all the potential names there, I'm not right now excited about Will Levis. But I will put a big, huge asterisk there and say that of all the things that I have faith in the world, one of them is John Schneider's ability to evaluate and identify a quarterback.
Yep, and to cut through.
Yeah, so I don't, right now, if you ask me, should the Seahawks draft Will Levis, my answer is a flat no, right?
Mine's a hard pass.
Okay. Well, those things are the same.
Are they?
Yes. I mean, we could just go with the Letterkenny hard no.
We ranked passes already.
Right. We did. You shall not pass.
When are we going to do our song lyrics today, by the way?
We're getting there. I promise.
I'm giddy about this.
Right after Kevin Burkhardt.
All right. Good.
But if John Schneider drafts Will Levis, I'm going to come around very quickly and be like, well, all right. I mean, if John Schneider thinks it, then maybe Brock's got it wrong.
Well, we're going to hear a lot about it over the next 2 to 3 months for sure. Because he does. He does his homework. And he did his homework even in the years. And this is why he went to Laramie, Wyoming. And this is why he went to Lubbock, Texas. And this is why you continue to evaluate, because he's got to sharpen his pencil too. Yeah, you had Russell Wilson for all those years. That's fine. Russell Wilson's not going to be here forever. And I got to continue year in and year out, even though they didn't draft anybody but one, Mr. Magoo. They've had their eye on different guys over the years. Yeah, I'd be surprised when it's all said and done if it is Will Levis.
Brock,
if
the draft goes the way Mel sees it with the first four and those four guys are gone and you're on the board at five.
Yep.
Right now, today, what are you doing?
Trading
back to seven or nine, somewhere in there. Somewhere still in the top 10.
Yep.
Nobody wants to trade with you. Sorry.
Then I'm going freak show D lineman. I'm going with the freakiest traits guy that run and hit and put on the tape.
Is that Tyree Wilson?
It may be. It, you know, as I said, I kind of had an asterisk yesterday.
What's the kid from Clemson?
Miles Murphy. Because I need to see these guys run and jump, man. That matters. And people say, oh, you know, the great Groz father. Oh, underwear running around. Stupidest thing. Blah, blah, blah. Like, not really. Nope. It gives you a pretty good baseline. And then when you see these dudes on Sundays and Mondays and this Sunday, and a lot of them are the tradie guys, and a lot of them run and hit, and a lot of them do things that others can't. Not every one of them, but most of them, there's a reason they want that baseline. There's a reason they want to see.
Tariq Woolen is a great example of it, right? I mean, he is essentially a combine freak who didn't have good tape and has turned himself into what may end up being the defensive rookie of the year.
And I need to see Manti Te'o run a 4.8.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if he ran 4.4 at the combine.
Well, I'm not giving you that option. Right now, today, who are you taking with the number 5 pick in that situation?
Yeah, I think I'm taking Tyree today. Everything is just, again, cursory start to this process. We'll have 60-some days to sharpen my own pencil and to work through this.
With the number 5 pick in the draft, Brock Huard selects David Tyree, wide receiver, here to be with the Seahawks now.
Will Levis, quarterback at the University of Kentucky.
What's up, Will?
And I have been known to put mayonnaise in my coffee.
There you go. Mel Kiper says that's your next Seahawks quarterback, putting mayo in the job.
Swipe left. Or
there you go. Coming up next, we'll give you everything you need to know. It's Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710salesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I think in honor of those Metallica commercials, Brock, I'm going to start promoting things coming up next year on the show.
Oh. Next year on this Wednesday, yeah, we'll have KJ Wright show again.
Exactly. Like, you start promoting things that are coming up in 18 to 20 months. Nice. And just see if people are still around to remember when we get there. Here's what we do know. We're getting closer to award time in the NFL, and things aren't looking great for the Seahawks. Pete Carroll did not even make the podium when it comes to Coach of the Year. Five other coaches on the list of finalists. None of them are Pete Carroll. Yesterday, in kind of a preview, sort of like the Golden Globes before the Oscars, the Pro Football Writers gave out their Rookies of the Year. They both went to New York Jets players. Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson took home the honor. So much for Tariq Woolen and Ken Walker. Today, though, we did find out that Geno Smith is one of the three finalists for Comeback Player of the Year, joining Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and Mel Kiper's mock draft, the first 1.0 version, came out. You just heard us discussing that a little bit in nauseam last hour as well. And for those of you that were as frustrated as John Schneider and Mike Salk about the Houston Texans down the stretch and the Denver Broncos finding a way to win a meaningless game against the Chargers, yeah, it does have some significance, because at least right now in January, and this is before the entire scouting process, as Salk said, this is before the Senior Bowl, this is before the Combine, this is before the interviews, and we know, you just look at history from January to late April, things do change. But yeah, those four names that everybody's been talking about for the last 4 months, they went 1 through 4, and he had the Seahawks taking Kentucky quarterback.
Yeah, that's not Willis. What you wanted to see in this spot. 20th pick, according to Mel, will go to Byron Young, a defensive end out of Tennessee, who Brock has never heard of.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Only one Hall of Famer this year gets in. It's Scott Rolen, who played in Philly and St. Louis. Again, deserving, yeah. The numbers are Hall of Fame worthy. If you look at him on paper, he is a Hall of Famer, and the defense was spectacular, of course, at third base. I just never saw him that way as a player, and I will admit a little bit of American League favoritism. Guys in the National League, I don't watch it as much, and I don't know. They're always just like, yeah, some guy's playing third base in the National League. But he was a very good player. I'm certainly not disappointed to see him in the Hall of Fame. I'm just a small hall guy, and I probably would have voted for Todd Helton over Scott Rolen. He will join Fred McGriff, who got in with the Veterans Committee.
Yeah, the crime dog's going to be in there, too. So a little smaller class, maybe not some of the pomp and circumstance of years past with Griffey and Jeter and some of the classes we've seen in recent memory. But I think this pays homage to his defense, too. And I think maybe these baseball writers today, Mike, look at and now kind of value defense, because we actually have metrics. And it's sure. Not just, oh, the limited number of errors. And to win, what, 8 gold gloves in his time? He did set the bar. He laid some of the foundation for the Nolan Arenados and those that have followed, because he was a web gem at third.
A couple days after finding out that Aaron Goldsmith would be staying in Seattle yesterday, he joined Wyman and Bob, and we found out why.
If I pursued that job further, it would be for all the wrong reasons. It would be for money, and it would be for greed. Or it would be for fame and for money. And those are horrible, horrible reasons to take a job, especially when we have everything we need here. We have a home here. We love it here. Our children love it here. And most importantly, I get extreme professional satisfaction from doing what I do for the Mariners. And I've become so attached to the community and to the team. And this is home. It's that simple. This is my home.
It's pretty well said.
Yeah, it was. It was a good interview yesterday, and he said a few things that I enjoyed. First of all, he told a funny story about Mike Blowers. He's like, yeah, Blowers wanted to know if I had a new contract, and I kept calling him back to talk to him about it, and he never answered my call till he read the story about me going to St. Louis, and then he started calling me again. So that was pretty funny, and it was good to hear, and he's absolutely right. You know, taking the job for the wrong reasons, not worth your time, but staying here where you built a community, pretty great story.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kraken gonna make a little hay, Brock. They play tonight against the Vancouver team that is certainly struggling. And then from there, they've got two more at home in a row, 3 games in 4 days. Calgary Flames team that's good, but right behind you in the standings, one you'd like to beat. And then a really bad Columbus team that's in last place. So opportunity to win a couple games here. Meanwhile, they did make a little roster move yesterday, bringing back John Hayden, who had played pretty well in the last game. So not sure exactly what's going on with Andre Burakovsky and Jaden Schwartz. Both have missed some time here due to injuries. Did you see Jeff Baker's story today about the ratings for the Kraken?
Mm-mm.
It's not good. I mean, in fact, it's outright bad. I mean, they are still averaging, I think it was a 0.67 en route. Okay. That is on par with what they were doing at the end of last year when things had really kind of gone awry. That's a troubling number, and I'm sure there's some folks there who are worried about that.
Well, I think that takes some time. I think last year you dug yourself a significant hole. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of excitement. I think there was a lot of, wow, look what the Golden Knights did and this expansion team and made it all the way to the playoffs. And then you came out and had a struggle bus. I mean, you couldn't get the bus going. They've got more wins now, right, or tied right now than they had all of last season. And I know that even in our own building, Mike, there was a lot of folks that, yeah, I'm kind of into this. I want to see what this is all about. Ooh, this is what it's about. This is not a good product. And so it's going to take some time to build back and bring back some of that goodwill.
Yeah, now, they're going to have to convince people.
Yes. And now does a rivalry with the Canucks help? I mean, does that help get things going a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know whether there's...
Is that who they play tonight, the Canucks?
Going to play this for you, I suppose. Wow. That is everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on...
Is that offensive? Did I say something wrong?
No, this what? Is a this poor woman. She's a broadcaster in D.C., and she had a little trouble talking about Bruce Boudreau getting fired there.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. Ooh. The team announced the change Sunday, less than a week after president of hockey operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Oh, somebody had to be messing with her.
Well, do they not have a sports department? Because this obviously isn't her normal
they probably
area
don't.
Of expertise.
Honestly, they probably don't. DC's a terrible sports town. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just, midday anchor or something, and she gets stuck having to do the sports news, which in this case, clearly she doesn't know anything about. Certainly not about hockey. But I'm not surprised that Mr. Mozart is the guy who wanted to play this sound.
What? On the Oregon Trail? What?
Something, something, glass houses.
Yeah.
Are they playing Calgary?
Mr. Mozart over here is like, hey, let's make fun of this poor woman who doesn't know the name of a few hockey
players. It doesn't matter, man, women, we all screw it up, but the Canucks are the Canucks.
The Canucks are the Canucks.
So go get those Canucks.
I mean, lost in that is the one at the end as she's trying to say Rick Tocchet. That did not go well at all.
Rick Tuchel was...
Rock Tuchel. I mean, I can understand it's Bruce Boudreau and not understanding the Canucks. Okay, if you've never heard Canucks, how would you know how to spell?
Right.
Give her
but a
break.
But Tocchet is T-O-C-H-E-T-T?
Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Rick Tuchel?
Boom goes the dynamite.
There's no N. I mean, that's just a reading problem.
Well, ask Burkhardt if he's ever screwed up at
I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's been perfect
flawless.
Over the course of his career. That's why he's calling the Super Bowl and why he'll join us next.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Homework assignment number 2 coming up here in 15 minutes. Maura gave us some homework as well. Mm-hmm. So Brock handed out homework and then Maura gave out homework. So that's coming up here in 15 minutes.
I just said, hey, this is an idea we could do.
I mean, you did it more passive aggressively, but yes. Right. You and Brock both sort of trying to vie for control of the show
right now. Well, it had something
right
to do with music, so I knew you'd which be was very
surprising.
Happy.
Very
speaking
good
of which, did you hear that homework. Little beat right there? You like that little beat, right?
It's a good beat.
Yeah. Can't you picture Burkhardt in his Camaro, IROC, top down, SoCal?
IROC C28.
Highway 1. Is it Highway 1 down there, Pacific Coast Highway?
Yeah.
Can you just picture him after calling the Super Bowl jamming to that?
Yeah. He's riding high. He's just called the biggest television event of the year for the first time.
Yep.
T-top, I assume, Camaro, right? He knocks out the parts of the roof. Still got the T-bar rolling across the middle. Yeah, that's exactly what I see. And, hey, he's joining us right now, the man who will call this year's Super Bowl, Kevin Burkhardt from Fox. Hello, Kevin.
It's like you're bringing back my Jersey roots. You know what I mean? I feel like I gotta, gotta get the fist pumping going, the whole thing. Maybe I'll do it. Who knows?
See
how the game goes.
We sometimes do a little game show here on this on our show called "Which Is Better." So I will ask you a "Which Is Better" question. As you said, as a Jersey guy, which is better, Firebird or Camaro?
Oh my goodness, that is a Well, I will say this: when I was a kid, I mean, the Firebird logo on the hood was pretty. That was pretty legit.
Yeah.
That was hard to beat.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to go Firebird.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I totally agree. Got to go Firebird over the Camaro.
Which is better, calling a game in Santa Clara or calling a game in Philly Sunday afternoon?
Well, listen, I think Santa Clara's atmosphere has come a long way. When we first got there, I think it was, it was certainly no Candlestick, but it's turned into a great place to watch and call a game. There's a big tailgating spot, but it ain't Philly. Philly's unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be a great, loud, raucous atmosphere on Sunday, and I can't wait. There's certain places, as you guys well know, and Seattle's one of them. I missed it. I haven't been to Seattle in a few years now. I miss coming up to games up there. But Philly, New York, Boston, things like, it's going to be nuts. They're going to be tailgating for 12 hours and all sauced up and ready to go. I can tell you that.
The poles will be all greased around the city of Philadelphia. How big a gap do you think there is between the two teams that you're going to call this weekend and the rest of the NFC right now?
I think they were clearly the best two teams in the league all year long. So I think it's the best game. I think it's the best game we could possibly have gotten. And I think there is a pretty sizable gap. Now, look, Dallas, we knew Dallas, what they're capable of when they played well, when they played on all cylinders, and their defense played excellent last week, but their offense did not. But I think that Philly, it's the same thing with Philly. They didn't have a great last month. Jalen Hurts got hurt. And they just tried to kind of survive and get the bye and take a rest. It's really what they needed. And everyone kind of forgot how good they were the first, three quarters or more of the season. So they dismissed them and then they got their rest and they got people healthy and they came out and obliterated the Giants. So I think they are and have been by far the best two teams in the NFC. So I can't wait to watch it.
We were chatting about you a little bit last hour, Kevin, and just your road to this spot and your grind and handed nothing in this business and worked your way up and now in the number one booth and getting to do these games and a Super Bowl here in a couple weeks. Just kind of curious, living in that number one booth and calling the game of the week every single week this season, what was that experience like?
Yeah, Brock, it's I've appreciated every second of it, I can tell you that. And it probably is because of the road I took to get here. How can you not appreciate? And listen, I appreciated what I was doing before this. So it's not like my attitude is new. It's just that there's so many more pinch me moments doing these games. You're doing Cowboys Packers at Lambeau on a Sunday night in a one score game. You're doing Thanksgiving when you're into 42 million homes and you're kind of saying hello to people's families and then you're doing playoff games, which I had done playoff games before. But when you're on this crew and you get the top game and you get the most attention and it's just different. And then, nothing's going to be more different than the next two, because these two I haven't done. I haven't done a championship game and I haven't obviously done a Super Bowl. So I'm just really enjoying the ride. I mean, it's been so much fun to be in this position and get a chance to be, front row at these games and hopefully I'm doing them justice. That's really my mindset.
The Super Bowl, though, it is the biggest television event of the year every year. And what I find interesting about it, and I'm sure you'll think about this as you're there in Arizona, it's not just that it's the biggest television event in America. It's such an international event. You're going to be in homes all over the world that day.
Yeah, Mike, what's interesting for me? I have done the international feed for the Super Bowl the last three years, which is only broadcast abroad. And I don't know the exact rules of it, but there, certain countries get like our normal feed and certain countries get this feed that I did, which is kind of like a dialed down. There's less, stuff on it, so to speak. And your approach is a little different, but it's been a good experience for me just to see, how the world kind of receives it. So I think that's been cool. But, the way I look at it is, look, of course, there's nothing that's going to be like it. And you're right. And it is going to be different. But the reality is we just did a game on Sunday that had 45 million people watching it. So to me, it doesn't affect how I announce a game. It's once the game starts, it's the game. And I truly mean that. It's everything else. It's all the stuff leading up to it. It's huge. It's 8,000 people asking you how you feel doing it. So I think everything that week and leading up to the game, I'm sure my heart will be racing. And then once the game starts, then I'll be able to take a breath and just do the game and hopefully do it well.
Well, I got a minor confession to make before we ask about the Seahawks and Geno and whether or not you guys are going to, number one crew is going to be in Seattle.
Are you going to say that you advocated for Joe Davis to do the Super Bowl? That's not right to bring a guest on and then tell him something like that. That's not right.
You can't do that to Kevin and
it's
I.
Just wrong, Brock. I can't believe you.
I'll give you So you don't even know this. Maybe you will as I start the conversation. You'll start to figure it out. I'll just be totally honest. I've not even told my wife this. This is how strong a confession it is.
Wow.
Nobody in broadcasting pulls off the zipper sweater, tie, sport coat better than Kevin Burkhardt.
Wow.
And I mean nobody.
Whoa.
So I have on a couple occasions imitated.
Oh.
I've borderline said to Molly, because I'm colorblind, so she's got to put my stuff together. I'm like, I'd really like to go in this cooler environment. It's cold. Little sweater. Got to do a little zip sweater. And I wouldn't do that if it weren't for Kevin Burkhardt. So that's my only challenge with the Super Bowl, KB. It's probably going to be a little cold in Philly, and you may get to pull that look again. I'm kind of a little bummed that it's in Arizona, that you won't be able to pull the zip sweater, which I think is your strongest wardrobe game. Ever been told that?
Wow, that's maybe the best compliment I've ever gotten. I'm floored. That's high praise. There are others in the field that do the same thing. I would say this, Rock, and you know this. So the challenge when I first started doing this, it's like, okay, you get in those like weird temps, like in the 40s, you know, high 40s and a little chilly, but like you don't want to throw on a whole coat and kind of, you want to look good. You want to classy. So how do you do it? So I did it a couple years ago. And I was like, all right, I could work with this. And like, I don't know, some people hated it, but like, I felt like it was like, you're still kind of wearing your suit and your tie. I like the tie thing. Like, I don't know, it makes me feel like we're, you're getting into people's homes. So like, it's still a way to do it. So I appreciate it, man. I put myself out there. Not everyone loves it, but that's hyper. I feel confident going into Philly now, rocking the sweater underneath because of you.
I mean, you're talking to people in Seattle. We know quite a bit about like mid 40s, kind of rainy, little cold. Like we're pretty well familiar with that exact weather pattern. Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports joining us here before he calls the NFC Championship game on Sunday, and then of course the Super Bowl 2 weeks after that. Storylines for the, I mean, it's a great game. Honestly, like of all the NFC Championship games that we've had in the last few years, I might be the most excited about this one just because of the Jalen Hurts story and the Brock Purdy. I mean, there's great storylines of quarterbacks who've come either out of complete nowhere or after being really underrated for a long or for some time. The defenses are both really explosive. What are you excited about?
Wow. I think there are so many great matchups in this game. And I'm with you. I think they're just stars all over the field. I am most excited about this. We know how good the 49ers defense is. Obviously, they're one in the league. We saw what they did to Dallas. But I'm most excited about Jalen Hurts against their defense. I think that people kind of forget because he got hurt. I mean, he was a front runner for MVP in the league before he got hurt. That's the bottom line, because of his dual threat ability. The beauty of Philly is that they won games however they wanted to win them. If they wanted to run for 300 yards with, you know, Hurts a big part of that attack, well, then they did it. If they wanted to carve people up in the pass game and have him throw for 300, they did it. I don't think there are many teams in the league that could operate like that or did operate like that. And they haven't done it in 6 weeks, because when he came back against the Giants at the end of the season, they're just trying to survive and get the one seed. He was careful. I don't think they had to go out on a limb at all this week against the Giants. They just ran it down their throat with their offensive line, and they kept Jalen kind of out of harm's way. They didn't have to get creative. Well, they're going to have to get creative this week. So I'm fascinated to see how they attack the 49ers defense, which way they choose to go. I think it's a big A.J. Brown game for me. We saw what DK Metcalf did to them, and we've seen, you know, big receivers do the same thing. I think if Philly wins, it's a big day for A.J. Brown.
Hey, last question for me, KB, here, because I'm going to get some other calls to run to as well. We know at times this can be a copycat league. It goes in cycles. We watch it, and it's this kind of quarterback, or it's this kind of team, or it's this kind of system, and everybody, or a fair amount, love to imitate it. I am curious how many are going to be watching, and certainly we are in Seattle, because there is a QB decision to make with Geno Smith and his play this season and everything else. I am curious how many are going to watch this NFC game and go, geez, see? it's not all about paying a quarterback $40 million. And actually, if you can build your team in such a way that a Mr. Irrelevant and a second-round QB can lead you, how advantageous it is over the long term. How big of a statement, how big of a copycat, how much of an effect maybe in Seattle would this game and will this game have on building an entire roster and team versus just the focal point on one position?
Brock, I think it's so beautifully said, and I don't have to tell you, play the position at the highest level, but I think that's it. That's the bottom line. Like, to me, Geno back to Seattle is a no-brainer. It's all about finding two things, the fit and the price. So for Geno Smith, what's the price? You know, it doesn't have to be $50 million like Aaron Rodgers is getting. Just find the right price. For Daniel Jones with the Giants, who came alive and finally had a good year, he had the right coach in a good system. They didn't have a lot of weapons, and he still had a very, very good year. You're going to bring him back. They don't have to pay him $50 million. Find the right, I don't know, is it $25 million? But he is the fit there. Because then if you move on, you're like, then where you go, right? We all know how hard it is to get a quarterback. And I think same thing, right? Jalen Hurts, Philly does what he does well. For Brock Purdy, gosh, I mean, people didn't think he was worth draftable or even bringing in. Obviously, he was the last pick in the draft. He looks pretty darn good to me. I mean, he's poised as heck. And would he be as good in other situations? I don't know. But he's perfect for Shanahan in this spot. So I think you said it. It's like it's not always about the, you know, in certain situations, find the best fit. And then if, you know, someone like Geno is a free agent who I think is a lock to bring back, you know, find the right money. Like, I think it doesn't always have to be the home run. I don't know. I think you said it so well. Like, this game totally proves that. It really is about surroundings and fit and coaching as much as anything else.
I think I've agreed with everything you've said right until that last moment, because I don't know if it's a lock that they're going to bring Geno back. That's the one thing where I just say because I don't know whether he wants 35 plus million, if they want to get on that carousel of paying that kind of money for somebody that isn't in the Patrick Mahomes, the elite of the elite category.
Just remember, well, women lie.
I think
men lie.
Fair,
numbers
though, right?
Don't lie.
Like, I think. Sorry, Brock. I didn't want to cut you, but I think like that. There has to be a line of demarcation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. Like, so, I think, you know, without the money, it's a lot. Bring them back, but yeah, if the money goes like past a certain line, well, then I think you pass. But hopefully, it's like the team and also the player realize that it's like it's a pretty good situation for both. So I agree.
Good stuff. Hey, really excited for you. Obviously, NFC Championship game in Philly. And, you know, you said you won't be nervous. It'll feel totally normal to call the game. But if nothing else, it is the highest honor for someone in your profession to be called upon to call the Super Bowl. What an incredible honor that is, and a testament to all the great work you've done. Congratulations. I hope you really enjoy it. We'll look forward to watching you.
Appreciate it. Great to be back with you guys. And Brock, I will pick my three-quarter zip with extra care when I pack. I really appreciate it.
Go pastels and blues.
You can pull off purple. You're kind of a guy who can pull off purple. So
yep.
Yeah, I think I could see that. Yep. All right.
Go Rocket. You will. Thanks, KB.
Thank you. There you go. There's Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports, who joins us here a couple days before he calls the NFC Championship game. Probably the weirdest interview he'll do this week, I'm going to guess. Certainly
Why?
The most fashion-focused.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Why?
Because of you, mostly, I would say. I mean, like, I get a lot of the grief, but you're the one who pulls things off the rails.
Did you see? You could feel his smile.
Yes.
Could you not?
Yeah, right through his quarter zip. You could feel the
Did you know
thing.
I was going that way?
You know, I didn't. I wasn't sure you were going to go quarter zip. That took me by surprise a little bit.
Well, how many of our listening audience, the millions right now listening to us, are going to tune in Sunday and have a smile on their face and go, look at that quarter zip.
I think
he looks so good.
All right.
Hey, hold on.
Two minutes ago.
Yes.
Geno Smith tweeted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nothing of interest, but he did tweet. So he's back on the Twitter machine. Geno's been all over the place with these tweets. Last couple of days, right? A bunch of them came out on Friday. A flurry of them. Bang, 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 bang. And then another flurry of them yesterday. Bang, 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 bang. And a lot of them seem to be sort of focused on his current situation with his contract right now up in the air with the Seahawks negotiation, etc. But a lot of them are just like Drake lyrics. So Justin, and he's been retweeting himself. Like, he's tweeted the lyrics before.
Right.
And now he's retweeting them with like a comment.
Yeah, it's like
he planted his previous tweets, the seed on these thoughts.
Or just an emoji on a lot of them.
Right.
I feel like Maura and Justin, you got to help us a little bit here. Like, Salk and I are old. Okay. I know we got younger kids and we try to stay hip and everything else, but we're not hipsters. Okay. You two have kind of cornered the market on that. You could just tell from my interview with the quarter zip. Like, I'm not the most hip.
You're sitting here making a big deal out of a guy going with dad attire. So, yes. I mean, probably hip is not the word to use.
Well, and also, do you think being hip and being a hipster are the same thing? Because that's kind of what it sounds like.
Brock does,
probably
yes.
not. Yeah, probably
does.
Not.
Brock thinks it's the same thing.
Which proves the point. Yes.
So educate us here. What is going on? What is he doing? Why is he doing this?
I will say I have some friends
talking about you
that post and use Drake lyrics a lot for captions on things.
Oh,
and they're still your friends? These are not five star friends,
like,
are
this
they?
This is no. And I, even I like look at it and kind of give the emoji of the cringe face, like, okay, that's just a weird move, but okay, like whatever. But that's what a lot of these are. So people think that it's like, maybe he's trying to subtweet somebody. Sure, but at least they're actual song lyrics, and it's not like he's writing teenage poetry and tweeting it at 2 a.m.
Right. I guess that's better.
So men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. Is that a song? Is that a lyric? Song.
Yeah, we figured out it was. Yeah.
Okay. It's, by whom?
That one is Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti.
Yeah, gotcha. The famed Yo Gotti. Uh-huh. So Maura challenged us to see if we could come up with song lyrics to describe ourselves.
Well, yeah,
and our own situation
our
at work.
Situation.
Yes.
And I'd like to hear some from the texters. Too.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have song lyrics that you think would fit any of us in our work situations.
Oh, or their work.
Or your own work situation. Oh. So, who would like to go first on this little assignment?
Well,
Justin?
Yeah, sure, I'll go first.
All right, what did you come up with?
I mean, like, if I was thinking of it the way Maura said it, too. If this is Gino describing his day at work, his frustrations, his thoughts, his innermost feelings that he's not going to tell people face-to-face, I don't really go that way. I'm pretty transparent with how I feel. So, I think mine's pretty easy, and I think you guys are going to hate it. But it's how I feel.
I see trees of green.
This seems accurate.
Interesting. Yeah.
What a wonderful world.
Right.
Just happy to be here.
That's nice. So I kind of went in a slightly different direction.
Me too. Are you surprised?
Yeah. Given how you feel about, your work situation, I just kind of went with my general outlook on the world. I thought this one would help.
Okay.
You know the song?
Not yet.
It couldn't be more the polar opposite of the song you chose, and we did not plan this ahead of time at all.
Yeah, I do know this one.
You have words?
Yeah, eventually.
Did you pick a lyric, or is this a whole song?
Well, I picked the lyrics, but I only have the whole song here in our system. Here we go.
I can see you on your bed. And
I just hate everything.
Your bullet, all mad.
Right.
This fits.
Yeah. Just complaining. I hate the countryside too.
Perfect.
Hey, Brock.
And I hate everything about you.
There he goes. Little Ugly Kid Joe.
That's a good
Whitfield
right there.
Crane was the lead singer of Ugly Kid Joe.
I had a different thought for you for a song that would work for
you.
Well,
let's hear what Maura has first.
Okay.
Poor Maura held hostage here on this show.
All right, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
Great callback.
She just played two notes. That's
all you needed to hear.
This is my actual one. Okay. And of course, it has to do with my least favorite part of the day. Mm. It's a reference to that. It's a little Big Daddy Kane.
Mm. Your vocab, I only ignore. Be sleeping on your rhymes till I start to snore.
That's a little reference to Rank there.
You just start to snore, huh?
Your vocab, I'll only ignore. Be sleeping on your rhymes till I start to snore.
And I had
Big
one
Daddy
for
Kane
more,
ain't
too.
No half stepping.
That's smart.
I never half step.
This is such a beautiful circle of life with the four of us right here. Right. This exercise is
Did you come
really,
up with anything?
Did I come up with something?
Oh, Brock's playing it through his phone.
Oh, great.
A few days before he turned 80, he was sitting out back in a rocker. Said, what you been up to lately? Mm. I told him, chasing, darling, ran in between sips of coffee. He poured this wisdom out. Said, if you want my 2 cents on making a dollar count, buy dirt. Find one you can't live without. Get a ring, let your knee hit the ground. Do what you love, but call it work. Throw a little money.
You're trying to get people married here?
Whoa!
Find a ring.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pretty accurate, too. Yeah.
I am talking about buy dirt right there.
One of the great covenants.
Do what you love and call it work.
Ah.
Do what you love and call it work.
I thought it was the part about finding a ring.
No. That's going to be in a month. I'll play that over and over and over and over,
yeah,
Miss Betsy.
Thought you were referencing you want everyone to get married.
I thought you just wanted Justin Amore to marry people.
Kind of encapsulates it all, doesn't it?
I mean, after Logan Gilbert, of course, got married this offseason.
That's right.
Look, I have one for you, though.
What was that?
It's no surprise to me. I am my own worst enemy.
I like this game.
Play the next line.
I got one.
You know what?
No, I got one for Maura.
Oh, what do you got for her? I thought you were going to play some Finger 11 for Maura based on the inch size of her fingers.
Oh, I got one for Brock.
Oh, yeah?
I want to talk about me. Want to talk about I. Want to talk about number one. Oh, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see.
Woo! Oh, we just got a really good nomination here. Clowns to the left, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Poor Maura. Poor Maura.
I got one for both you and you and Brock, though, so.
Okay.
We thought about giving up, giving up. We can never stay away. We thought about breaking up.
Thank you, Gina.
Now we know it's much too late. And it's no.
Wrong verse, sorry.
This is not going to be a one-time exercise, I'll tell you that. We're doing this again.
This makes perfect sense for the two of you.
Eventually, it's up to you and me.
Yes, it's true.
Yes, it's true.
All right, enough music. So you guys are going to play a song later. That's enough music.
An opportunity to play a little Huey Lewis. Come on, give me some more Huey. I got to hear a little more Huey.
That's so good.
Or would you?
Oh, God! I'm running!